This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
That's right, you're tuned to Community Radio 3CR this Boxing Day. It's the 26th of December. I'm Mercedes and in the studio with Jake.
And I'm Jacob, yeah. Boxing Day, I've just felt like I've gone through bloody couple of rounds with Mike Tyson after this last couple of weeks, mate.
Yeah, well, I bet.
Yeah.
I better leave.
Well, I'm not talking about my own personal injuries. I'm talking about the state of the planet.
The state of the planet, yeah. That's right, and the state of everything. Of course, you are tuned to Community Radio 3CR. This summer, 855 on your AM dial or via all the W's at 3cr.org.au. And given it's Boxing Day, we might try and throw a few punches, I reckon, today.
Well, where are we going to start?
We might be a little bit
all over the place. We're going to end the year the way we came into it, not knowing where we're going and what we're doing. We're playing it by ear.
That's right.
But we have said we should mention this, that and the other. But which one first?
I mean, I guess it's it was Christmas yesterday and you recounted to me a little an anecdote.
Yeah, look,
perhaps.
When I went to bed this morning, or like last night, early this morning, whatever you want to look at it, I checked online. I don't normally check the news before I go to bed, but my laptop was open on my bed. And I checked online. There was a real good feel-good story about Bethlehemites celebrating Christmas for the first time in a while. You know, like one of those hope in the face of despair type stories. And I actually felt good about it. Even cynical, jaded old me thought, good, you know, they're getting it. And anyway, when I woke up this morning and I went online again to see the news today, I saw that the Israeli police arrested Santa Claus in Bethlehem. Now, all right. We've got to be careful what we say here because the laws are coming in, which means any criticism of the state of Israel is going to be seen as anti-Semitic. And we know that we're not anti-Semitic. We abhor racism in all its forms. Okay, but we're talking about the state of Israel here. And under the anti-Semitism laws that are coming in, the hate speech laws that are coming in, criticism of Israel will be deemed as anti-Semitic.
Mm.
So we've got to be careful. But they don't come in till next year, so maybe we've got a freebie. We can criticise Israel. And it's almost as if there was a cabal of evil people sitting in a smoky room saying, how far can we go? What can we get away with? And one of them turned to his mate and said, I don't know. Let's arrest Santa Claus in Bethlehem this year. Oh, too far.
But this is what's happening. I mean, the state of Israel has had impunity for genocide, except in the ICC. But I mean, the Australian government has given impunity for genocide over the last 2 years and all of the acts of apartheid for the 77 years prior to that.
Now, look, can I ask you what you reckon will happen if the news story this morning was about the Iranian National Guard arresting a group of Iranian Christians, going and arresting Santa Claus at an Iranian Christian event?
Oh, there'd be uproar.
Mate, Anthony Albanese would have got out of his bed to condemn the attack on Western values and everything we hold sacred. You know, this isn't even about attacking Jesus Christ. This is about a much more important figure in popular mythology, Santa Claus. And they arrested Santa Claus. And this is like, are they at the stage now where they're just taking the absolute piss?
Yeah. Like, really?
It's Anyway.
But there is a raft of new laws that are coming in. You know, some of them have already passed and some will be being passed early next year, both in New South Wales and Victoria.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, I mean, we're going to have a little bit of a chat about those. And as we said, New South Wales and Victoria, well, and the federal government have said that they're going to be implementing all of Gillian Siegel's recommendations.
Is there a particular recommendation of Gillian Siegel's where you can't attack Gillian Siegel?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure, but that's so that's coming in. So there's last week on the show, we obviously spoke about the ISIS-backed Bondi or ISIS inspired Bondi attacks at Bondi.
Yeah.
Is that how we want to describe it? And we talked about the conflation of that with the Palestine protests, even though ISIS is ideologically opposed to
Hamas
and Palestine.
Yeah.
So, you know, that seems to just not really be mentioned by Chris Minns or Albanese or anyone. It's like,
anyone.
By anyone.
And even the people who claim to be supportive of Palestine, even people who have spoke at pro-Palestine rallies are now saying that the Palestine rallies should be put on hold. I'm talking here about that grub sitting on Lygon Street, Luke Hilakari, the Secretary of Trades Hall, who has done more than any other human being to besmirch the name of the trade union movement in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up and say and calling for a moratorium on protests. This is
it's outrageous.
Look, you can you understand Penny Wong, Chris Minns. You understand all the right wingers, Josh Frydenberg, all the rest of them saying that. But for the titular head of the union movement in the state to be saying that we should not have protests is. Where are we going?
And throwing a whole bunch of rank-and-file union members who have been working in support of Palestinian liberation for a long time, completely under the bus.
Under the bus.
Yeah.
Tarring them all with, calling them all socialist alternative.
Mm.
Like, for a start, look, I've got problems with socialist alternative. That's no secret. But I've also got friends in socialist alternative. All right? But, like, saying they're all socialist alternative as if that's an ultimate insult. You know, it's what is he doing? And where's the rest of the trade union movement? Are they speaking against this? Well, probably not, because they probably don't have another exec until mid-January.
Ah.
Which is probably why he's taken the opportunity of saying it while he has. The absolute grub. Always a Labor Party hack. Always was. Always will. And I said it in a private message to you and other renegades. Why did he do it? I reckon he's looking to get his ass on leather next year and he doesn't want to upset the big end of town.
Keep him happy.
Anyway, enough about him.
Yeah, he doesn't need to take up any more of our energy or time.
Couldn't help notice how fat and bald he's getting, huh? Anyway. Sorry, take pleasure where you may.
Even if it be in pettiness. Where were we? New laws, raft of new laws. Legislation. Now, regular listeners to A Friday Rave will probably get sick of us saying all the time that we constantly talk about how legislation is passed under the guise of something else. You know, we spoke about it at length.
Absolutely.
During COVID and the COVID measures and the legislation that was passed. Of course, over the last few months is increasing, increasing encroachment on protest laws in Victoria, in New South Wales. And yeah, just the other day, New South Wales passed new gun reform legislation, but also passed new protest laws. Now, I was just having a look at the amendments and in New South Wales, and there's a bunch of things on there because it's under the actual proper name of the legislation is the Terrorism and Other Legislation Amendment Bill. So let's all just whack it in together.
Yep.
And so we won't talk about the gun control laws because I haven't really actually looked at them, to be honest. I've been more focused on what's going to change in protest. And so basically they've put a moratorium on protest for 14 days. It'll give police increased powers to move on assemblies and protests for increments of 14 days for up to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also Chris Minns is looking at banning phrases and terms, you know, it kind of evokes a memory of from the river to the sea.
Intifada.
Intifada.
The word itself.
Yep. Intifada, which is means uprising. It's an Arabic word, so let's just
It's an Arabic word, and this is the thing. I said, you know what it means. And I have to point out here, like I pointed out to Mercedes this afternoon, I grew up Catholic, but I also grew up Maltese. So to me, when I talked about God, the Catholic God, we spoke about Allah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an Arabic word. And intifada is just an Arabic word. And it's really interesting how they're adding meaning to words and having words mean something other than that they actually mean. In order to, like, they're giving more power to words and symbols, like, than they are to actual ideologies. Like, for example, it's illegal to do a Nazi salute in Victoria, but it's quite legal to stand on a stage and spout and quote Nazi ideology. They'll even supply a copy of Mein Kampf to people like Thomas Sowell in jail to prepare for his defence. So that's legal, but making the salute is illegal. And it's interesting the way that they're making words and symbols more powerful than the ideologies they represent.
Mm, well, not speaking about the ideology, because the idea is not actually to understand the ideology or intent.
No,
to criminalise it and to demonise.
Yeah, let's face it, you know, Thomas Sowell and all the politicians and all the rest of them, they don't really have a problem with Nazi ideology, do they?
No, and what's interesting, I think, is that the Victorian government, Jacinta Allen, has also announced like 5 steps to preventing violent extremism. Is the 5 steps the Victorian government implementing. And just on that, one of them, step five, is it that they're talking about? Sorry, I'm just trying to find it on my computer. As I said, we're all a little bit all over the place today. Sorry, step four, that Victoria, this was announced just the other day, 22nd of December, Victoria will appoint a commissioner to implement the state's new strategy for preventing and countering violent extremism 2025 to 2028. Now, I would have thought that maybe the government, the state government, would have jumped when the NSN, National Socialist Network, were leading a march and Thomas Sowell was up there spouting his bullshit on the steps of Parliament when they attacked camp sovereignty, all of these several members of this network that grooms children, that takes young people under to train them up to become part of their little Nazi cult, that maybe in the last 5 years where they've gone underground to build support networks and are now pitching to try and start a political party, get enough votes to get a political party, that maybe the state government might have put in a implementation of... appoint a commissioner against violent extremism in that instance.
So Thomas Sowell isn't seen as a violent extremist, but Nasha Mashni is. This is what we're coming to. This is what we're coming to. You know, this reminds me of Boris Johnson calling Jeremy Corbyn a racist. You know, we're seeing this kind of, you can make words mean whatever you want them to mean.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, in back to New South Wales for a second, when they announced these restrictions on public assemblies, For 14 days. Huh. And they say up to a period of 3 months. But, like, you know, let's just see how many times are they going to extend that. And so it was just Gatherings are permitted, but police may issue a move-on direction for people causing obstructions or behaving in an intimidatory or harassing manner, or people who might cause or likely to be cause fear in another person. So it's just so vague and opaque. And where is the New South Wales tactical unit that arrested, rammed the car, didn't turn their lights on, rammed the car of those seven fellas in Sydney the other week who were going on a holiday, who were released without charge and who are now very rightly suing
the police.
Suing the police. We said last week that it was for a media stunt.
It was a media stunt. I mean, if they knew where they were, why didn't they get them when they were on their way into the car, when they were stopped for petrol, when they knew where they were?
Well, the cops didn't even turn on their lights, one of the fellows was saying. So they were stopped at the light. They had a green light and they were there to go, and the cops didn't turn on their lights. They just rammed the car
straight
away.
Just rammed them. Didn't even attempt to pull them over.
No.
And this is what we're getting to.
Yep.
Now, this brings to mind when you and I first met some years ago. We spent a bit of time talking about Giorgio Agamben and the state of exception. And I don't know whether we were being prophetic or predictive. We'll get into predictive in a minute. But it seems like we've got the state of exception is what's been...
It's what's being created. And that's the very mechanism that allows it. Or state of emergency, or now the Terrorism Act is like, this is what the state of exception is. Because it provides a suspension.
Yeah.
Of all regular process scrutiny, parliamentary scrutiny. And look, let's be honest, you know, parliamentary scrutiny is a pretty, you know...
Contradiction in terms, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's not as strong as we all, you know, should give it. But, like, this is what it does, is create extraordinary circumstances or crises. Or it makes a spectacle out of a crisis, and in order to extend, to push through, and shift and change what would be the quote unquote normal order of things.
Exactly, and this was, I guess, overtly, what's the word, evident during the COVID lockdowns.
Yes, very much so.
Where they said, it's COVID. And therefore, we have to put aside civil liberties. We have to put aside the rule of law. We have to put aside everything. And look, I had a difference with a big part of the left, because a big part of the left actually went away with it, all the way with Dan the Man with the grand plan, and have a beer with Daniel. It was crazy the way big parts of our society reacted to the COVID response, because... And this is controversial at the time, probably still is, but I'm going to say it nonetheless, because a big part of the left, being the educated middle class, this was the first time they were actually under threat, that it was indiscriminate. It wasn't coming for refugees or Muslims or Jews, or it was coming after us. And therefore, we're happy for our human rights to be put on hold for a moment, because we need to get through this state of exception. And even today, I'm sitting here in the 3CR studio and there are three bottles of sanitizer on the bench.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that it's important to hold, like, these conversations in terms of not kind of going, it wasn't a real thing, or that it's conspiratorial, but that we still need to maintain a scrutiny of how the government will respond. They're never altruistic, and it's not all of a sudden going to become altruistic just because there is a crisis. They will utilise a crisis in order to get the ends that they desire.
Yeah. And I'm not one of those people who thought COVID was a conspiracy and all that kind of stuff. COVID was a real and a dangerous disease, no question.
Still is.
And it still is. And more people have died of COVID apparently since the end of the lockdowns and died before or during the lockdowns, but we can't live under those laws forever.
Yeah, so exactly. But I mean, you know, I think one discussion that we had I know, we just looked at the clock and gone, geez, have we...
Good Lord, it's 5:20.
Have we rabbited on this much already? But one of the things we were just talking about in the courtyard before we came into the studio was about going through that time period. And I think that that's something that we'll dedicate a show to sometime in the future of looking, you know, trying to do a bit of an analysis, I guess, of what laws were brought in during those times. And I know
they're still on the books.
And they're still on the books. You know, there's great work by the Police Accountability project that did a lot of this stuff, like the lockdowns of the towers during COVID. But yeah, just to see where we are now. Back to Victoria. I know we're jumping between the two states, but back to Victoria. And I think we have spoken about the social media ban quite a bit on a Friday rave.
Yeah.
And one of the steps that the Allen government is going to bring in is, this is a quote from the website, stronger hate speech laws with social media companies on notice. And so what's interesting, this is in the umbrella of the Victorian government's anti-vilification scheme starting next year. And it's about that people using social media need to be identifiable in order when there are instances of vilification, then you know, quote unquote cowards are protected behind anonymous profiles. And so Victoria is going to introduce new laws that hold social media companies and anonymous user accounts to account if they can't be identified in the instances of this. And I think how this comes into the social media ban, I mean, they're putting it under anti-vilification, but we know all of the raft of new legislation that the Victorian government has brought in has been brought in under anti-vilification.
And they've actually predated New South Wales in doing things like calling the whole of the extended CBD, including Docklands and South Bank and all that, a protest-free zone and all that kind of stuff, that they a zone of exception, if you will.
A zone of exception. And so we've spoken about the social media ban on the show, which is going to require users to identify themselves, you know, to make sure they're under 16. But we have spoken about on the show that this will end up extending to everyone who uses these accounts. Mm. And as we said in the show last week, you know, it's a good time to tidy up and think about how we use our and what we say. And that's not to say, I guess, give in to the repression, but just understand, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah, this is where we are. And the whole world has changed, people. I mean, I know it's a question of degrees. It's a question of scale. But I see what's happened already and what's going to be happening in the name of the Bondi massacres is going to be analogous to what happened after 9/11.
Mm.
You know, obviously the scale is much, much different. But it's the same. That's, you know, it's like the security state. I've talked for years on this show about the security state. And basically when all you've got is a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail.
Mm.
It's like we talk about social media bans, stopping people under 15. All right, you're thinking, so that's aimed at, or under 16, that's aimed at 13, 14, 15-year-olds. So if you go back 5 years when these people are 8, 9, 10 years old, when arguably kids are first getting on social media and forming their you know, prepubescent identities, I guess, or their pubescent identities moving into teenagehood, we were telling them it's dangerous to go outside. You have to sit at home on your computer. Even your school was on computer. People were dangerous. People were, what's the word, stranger danger.
And you formed your, like, in formative years of being online, you know. Yeah. There's no doubt that comes into a part of how you exist and are in the world, and that doesn't mean it can't change. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's what we're...
And now we're saying, no, the computers are dangerous. Go outside and play. Mm. And you're screwing with kids' heads, all right, because they haven't been... taught like this growing up. And then as a result, and I don't know, I can't show any causality, and I don't even want to, but there's got to have something with the current spate of teenagers going ape shit and rampaging through places like Mortialik.
Yeah, which is also, you know, like at the same time, which is also just like there's so much hyperbole around youth crime wave and all of that shit. But at the same time, the government is saying that, no, we're going to be able to try 10-year-olds as adults.
Yeah. So that's our response. That's our response. We cut child services. We cut youth workers.
We cut youth centres, programs.
Now we tell them they can't go online and talk to their mates the way they were encouraged to from when they were first getting in line.
Yeah.
And our response is to try them as adults.
Is to try them as adults. Just before we go, we've only got a few minutes left, but just before we do go, another in relation to social media, in regards to vilification, the government is going to retable pre-existing legislation in 2026 that will remove the requirement that the Director of Public Prosecutions must consent to police prosecution for criminal vilification. Yep. So this was amended out of the legislation from the Legislative Council. Last time they tried. And so that part of the bill is going to, amendments removed and being retabled.
Yep.
In that form. So what that does is that the Director of Public Prosecutions needs to say to the coppers, all right, this, you know, you can prosecute someone.
The DPP needs to prosecute. That's why they are the Director of Public Prosecutions. It is what it says in the box. And in this Westminster system of government, we have three branches of the government. We have the government, we have the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary. Now the police are the executive. The executive are the people who carry out who do the work of the government. Now the police are part of the executive, so you have the legislative arm determining that we're going straight to the executive arm and we're cutting out the judicial, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually they will go to court. But this is what it is. It's under this, the social media ban, and the right to protest, all these things, they're not just small things. They are attacking the very fabric of what describes a pluralistic, egalitarian society.
Mm.
This isn't just an attack on children. It's not just an attack on Palestinian protesters. It's not just an attack on Muslims. It's an attack on the fabric of society, and we've got to stop it.
Yeah. We've got to stop it indeed. That's about all we've got time for. Now, next week, we're going to be out of the studio, so you'll be hearing a little repeat from last year where Jake and I had a discussion about counterinsurgency. But make sure if you are...
Tomorrow.
Exactly. If you're up bright and early, well, what's bright and early for us, which is 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, we have Saturday Kick-Ons, which is an hour-long program, and tomorrow we're going to be having a chat with Scott Ludlam about the Atlas Network. So as Asia Pacific Currents and Palestine Remember take a well-earned break, we'll be on air tomorrow from 9 until 10, having a chat to Scott and talking all things Atlas Network. Keep it locked to 3CR Community Radio. Radio MMT is up next. That's enough from us this week.
Talk to you next year.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.